Let's pray. Loving Father, as we turn to your word, we claim again the promise that your word will be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We ask that you'll bless us now. Speak to us through your word, for your word indeed is truth. In your name we pray. Amen. So, from the bulletin, you will see that the title of my address this morning is You Are Called to Belong to Jesus Christ. You are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Verse 6 of the passage that was read to us this morning. Paul saying to people with clear and strident words that they are invited to belong to the reality of Jesus Christ. And so this morning I want us to consider afresh these words of Paul as he sets out the divine call and invitation to the church at Rome, and which comes down the centuries to us as we acknowledge that the God of creation has provided for us, for you and for me, a way, a pathway to know him and to follow him moment by moment and day by day. During the first 6 months of the calendar year, and back to December of last year, we as a worshipping community have renewed once again our acknowledgement of and belief in those acts of God through Jesus Christ that define who we are as a fellowship of believers within the wider Christian church family. It has been the grace of God, that unmerited favour that we did not earn or did not deserve, but that has been revealed to us through Jesus Christ. It is through him that we receive afresh this morning that call to belong to him. And so, as a worshipping community here at Auckland Chinese Presbyterian Church, beautifully known as ACPC, I think it's a wonderful acronym, we have followed his birth, his earthly ministry, his death on the cross, the triumph of his resurrection, and the glory of his ascension. And underpinning it all is the call to us to respond to God's grace and to God's love. You see, you and I stand with those millions worldwide who down through the years have acknowledged Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour, and have responded to the call that is revealed in the gospel writings and is restated with emphasis and conviction by Paul, a call to belong to Jesus Christ. Now, as far as a Christian church community, we are now in that period of the Christian church liturgical calendar known as ordinary time, or week 9, week 10 after Pentecost, ordinary time. That's how the church likes to put it in its liturgy, because all those great things that define us as Christians are behind us in that sense for this year. Now, therefore, it was some weeks back that in my own personal Bible reading, I turned once again to Paul's letter to Rome, to the church at Rome. And it is from Romans, therefore, that I have chosen my text for this morning. From the very early church leaders through to biblical scholars and great preachers down through the centuries, Paul's letter to the Romans is largely acknowledged as the greatest letter ever written. Paul, who is proud to acknowledge his Jewish heritage and using the power of his intellect and knowledge of the Jewish scriptures, is excited and humbled by his relationship to God made possible through Jesus Christ. And it provides, therefore, Paul, as he sets down his words, he provides a majestic proclamation of the gospel, the good news that all peoples, Jews and non-Jews, lumped together as Gentiles, everybody who wasn't a Jew, can be saved through the death, the life, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that it is through faith alone, as Martin Luther has reminded us in this year when we celebrate the 500 years since the Reformation. And Paul describes the gospel, as we read this morning, as the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. The power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Verse 16. Even that little sparrow has happily joined us for worship this morning. We're reminded, aren't we, in Scripture, that Jesus talked about that our Heavenly Father knows every bird and sparrow and creature because they are part of his family. They're part of his wonderful creation. And so our sparrow has joined us for worship. And so Paul talks about the Christian's hope of glory, of a life which is possible in the internal presence of God because of the decisions and choices that we make during our earthly life. It's all possible because of the way and the manner in which we conduct ourselves in our earthly pilgrimage. Historically, the impact of this letter to the church at Rome has been huge for the church worldwide. Paul commences then this significant letter with a clear and strong statement in respect to his understanding of Jesus. He talks of Jesus' human nature as a Jew and a descendant of David, and then of Jesus' confirmation by the Holy Spirit as the Messiah of promise, the Messiah of God, the Son of God. Paul then devotes, when we read through the book of Romans, considerable portion of his letter in describing in very graphic detail human lives that are lived outside of any acknowledgement of God as a reference point. Any acknowledgement of God as a reference point. He considers Jews, his own people, who have rejected Jesus Christ and the way they distorted the Old Testament laws. The classic parable was Jesus' teaching. Remember the Good Samaritan. It was the religious leaders of the day. This man was lying by the side of the road. We know it so well. Beaten and bleeding. He'd been robbed. And the church leaders of the day, they walked by on the other side. Why? Because it was the Sabbath day. And you weren't allowed to do any work on the Sabbath day. So they distorted this command of God to keep the Sabbath day as a separate day, and they let this man there. And who was it who helped him? A Samaritan, someone who worshipped in a different way and who the Jews really didn't have much time for. And what did he do? He put the man on his donkey, took him to the inn. He said to the innkeeper, look after him. I'll be back this way in a few days. If you need any more money, I'll pay for you. Here was an example, and here is what Paul is saying, the way in which his own people that he was proud to be a part of, a Jew, have rejected and distorted the Old Testament laws of God. But here at ACPC, we have consistently affirmed through all aspects of our ministry and worship, our faith and our belief, that indeed, the Jesus who walked the dusty roads of Galilee and Nazareth, Judea and Jerusalem, is indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we have down through the years taught of the salvation through faith that is available to all who will claim this Jesus Christ as their own personal Saviour and Lord. I want to read again those opening verses that were read to us this morning. Just let them sink in as we hear Paul speaking to the church at Rome. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel which he, God, promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who, as to his human nature, was a descendant of David, and who, through the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God, by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord, says Paul. Through him and for his name's sake, we have received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles, from all those nations gathered around, to the obedience that comes from faith. And then he says to the church at Rome, and you people, you are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. And so that call comes to us again this morning. He states, he introduces himself, Paul, as a person set apart for a specific purpose. He makes clear that through the Holy Spirit, he has become aware of the true nature of Jesus Christ as the one who reveals God to us and for us. And he states that he has been called to be an apostle. Now, the Greek word, as Stuart knows, apostolos, is a very interesting one. And it can be used in two ways in Scripture. It firstly, to designate an official office, as in this passage. Paul is very clearly stating that he has a special calling to be an apostle. And then, generically, it can be referred to anyone who was sent with a message. Apostolos in Greek referred to someone who was officially commissioned to a position or a task, such as an envoy. The secular Greek writer, Demosthenes, gives the word picture of apostolos, noting that it was used to describe a cargo ship, sometimes called apostolic. A cargo ship referred to as apostolic, sent out with a specific shipment to accomplish a mission. And in secular Greek, apostolos was used of the admiral of the fleet sent out by the king on a special assignment. I wonder this morning, could any calling for us as a church and as individuals be more important and more compelling than to obey the call to belong to Jesus Christ? You and I have indeed been sent out on a mission, and I am so thankful, and I know you join with me in that, that this church is vibrant in its desire to reach out in a whole range of initiatives, some of which Stuart has talked about this morning. And so, as a church and as individuals, we have that wonderful opportunity, the call to belong to Jesus Christ, to tell out by our words and through our lives the victory we claim through him and our relationship with Almighty God. Is it any wonder that a hymn writer of old said, "I want my life to tell for Jesus, that everywhere I go, others may his goodness know, not mine, but his goodness know. I want my life to tell for Jesus." In 1883, a Presbyterian minister by the name of the Reverend Alexander Don opened the very first Chinese mission church in New Zealand in Riverton in Southland. He was an Australian. He was born in a tent in the Ballarat goldfields. So being an Australian obviously gave him an advantage in life, as you would appreciate. But he was one of 10 born in a tent on the goldfields of Ballarat. Some of you might like to Google Presbyterian Church ministry in New Zealand during the week and read about this incredible man, the Reverend Alexander Don. And he opened that first Chinese mission under the auspices of the Presbyterian Church in 1883 down in Riverton. I'm sure some of you have been there. ACPC here in Vincent Street continues to build on the vision that the Presbyterian Church had all those years ago in respect to Chinese ministry, and how we thank God for that. Paul wrote in his detailed and significant letter to the church at Rome all those centuries ago. But here at ACPC, I believe our challenge as a church and as individuals is to become living letters to the in the daily expression of our Christian faith, in the way we interact in the workplace, at university, or wherever and whatever tasks and responsibilities make up our daily lives. Stuart has used the illustration on more than one occasion of our church here being like an adapter plug. We know the importance, don't we, if we go to Europe or parts of Southeast Asia, that we need to pack in our suitcase that little bit of equipment, adapter plug, that allows us to convert into the electricity and pick up the current of that particular country, so we can charge up our laptops and do all the other things that we want to do. And so here at ACPC, we have the opportunity to be that kind of church that reaches out in ministry and comes back. There used to be an old benediction that some older ministers I can remember used to say at the end of a service: the Lord bless you in your going out and in your coming in. And in a few minutes, after we've had a cup of tea and we've all had a bit of Pauline's banana cake, we will be going out to be the kind of people that can live as living letters that people might know something of what it means to have a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so finally, because of Paul's conviction about the reality of a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and the reality that all are called to belong, he boldly states in verse 16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes." I'm not ashamed of the gospel, says Paul. He was getting it from all sides, from the Jews who really just couldn't get their heads around this new Christ-like type church that was growing up, and from the Romans who had statues to all sorts of gods. And you remember in another verse of scripture, and you can look it up during the week, there was an inscription, in case they'd missed out, to the unknown God. They thought, we've got a few gods, but we're not sure, there might be one we've missed out in praying to. And Paul's thundering down the centuries and saying, no, there's a reality of knowing the one true God through the salvation available to us, to everyone who believes. And so here at ACPC, I believe we can truly be a living letter to those around us, collectively as a church and individually in the interactions which make up our daily lives. Amen. We're going to do things a little bit differently now. We're going to listen to a beautiful YouTube clip, and I'm